Hey, and welcome to FutureThinkers.org, a podcast about the evolution of technology, society, and consciousness. I'm Mike Gilliland.
And I'm Yuvia Ivanova. If you're new to the show and you want to get a list of our favorite books, popular episodes, and to join our community, go to FutureThinkers.org/start. All Future Thinkers episodes are now on video. To watch the premiere of each episode and join the discussion live, subscribe to our YouTube channel at FutureThinkers.org/YouTube. Hey guys, so Mike and I have been wanting to do some episodes on archetypes, and we decided that we're going to break it up into 8 episodes. So we'll cover the 4 masculine archetypes first, and then we'll do the 4 feminine archetypes. So to give you a brief introduction, Mike.
So the book is called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover by Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette. And the book had a pretty profound effect on me last year when I read it for the first time. It really brought to light the different sides of the masculine psyche that I'd never really had any idea about. The negative sides of each of the archetypes and the positive sides, and how you can go about manifesting the positive sides. So the book kind of starts off talking about the developmental phases of children manifesting these different archetypes. So we're going to be talking about the lover today, and it has the child version and the man version. And to start, there's the Oedipal child. Maybe you can explain this one.
Sure. So that's the child who is driven by wanting to connect with other people and with himself, and also with the world and with nature. And so he's seeking that connection, and that connection is kind of embodied by mother, because that's the first human being that he bonds with. So he sees connection as kind of archetypically depicted as the great mother. Mm-hmm. And he sees her in this kind of idealized light. And so in the healthy version, the child, you know, creates this bond and connection, but there's also the shadow versions. And so maybe you can cover those.
Yeah. So there are 2 shadow versions. There's the mama's boy and the dreamer. The mama's boy is pretty self-explanatory, I think. Very deep attachment to mom, kind of a hatred and competition with dad. It's usually a developmental stage, I think, between 3 and 4 years old. Most people will notice it in their little boys and not really understand why. It's just sort of this developmental stage where all of a sudden the kid loves mom and hates dad. The attachment, I think, is kind of dropped after that. And then there's sort of a camaraderie with the dad when the child realizes that dad's going to outcompete me, and he's not, and the love with mom is not so appropriate in that kind of romantic love context. I think people kind of think about this one, the lover and the Oedipal child, in kind of a gross way. Like they think it's all about sex and obsession with mother, and that's not really the case.
Yeah, that's kind of more of a Freudian view. And so Freud discovered the basement, and Jung discovered the passage under the basement that led to a very complex network of tunnels. So Freud kind of thought that everything is driven by sex and by repressed emotions and childhood experiences, and he thought of the unconscious as this dark basement, basically, where all the negative and repressed thoughts were hidden. But Carl Jung disagreed with him and thought that there are a lot of positive things in the unconscious as well, and kind of the greater potential of humankind is also in the unconscious.
Mm-hmm. The dreamer is also kind of self-explanatory. It's the kid who is kind of lost in another world, lost in his own thoughts. And rather than having a deep and inappropriate connection with the mother, this child has no connection with anyone, just kind of withdraws into their own space, their own head.
Mm-hmm.
So
these childhood archetypes can still manifest in adulthood if the person never grew up in those ways. So you can see these kinds of, you know, unhealthy attachments to the feminine figure in men who project that kind of mother archetype onto their girlfriend or wife, where they expect her to do everything for them and take care of them completely, and they're just kind of helpless in certain areas of life, or they're detached and, you know, they're just in their own head dreaming all the time instead of developing real relationships with people.
So I think we've covered the developmental stages. Now we need to move on to the adulthood stages. So the, like I was saying before, the lover is kind of associated with sex, and that's about it, sex and romance. And it's kind of, especially in our Western culture, looked down upon in a way, like it's not manly to be romantic and sensitive, you know? There's also this attitude of well, let's explain what the lover actually is about. It's about a sensitivity to, well, it's the use of senses, really, is what it's about. So taste, touch, hearing. It's the ability to have connection with people and to bring in sensory data and be basically like in the moment, feeling what you feel.
But also it's about having a deep connection to yourself. And the seed of spirituality also lies in this archetype, because it's this, you know, in its positive manifestation, it's this deep and profound connection to your own nature and to external nature as well. So, you know, it could be expressed as a fullness. You're so present in everything that you do, and you just experience everything to its fullest, and it's this expanding feeling of love and joy. So this archetype is very expansive. The other masculine archetypes are more about order, but this one is kind of the opposite. It's about unlimited expansion.
Yeah, that's right. So moving into the shadow version of the adult lover, maybe you can explain this one.
So the shadow has two polarities. One of them is the addicted lover, and the other one is the impotent lover. So the addicted lover is the one who has this grandiose idea about what things are supposed to be, and is always looking for the perfect person, for the perfect experience, for the perfect thing to satisfy him, but never finds it because he's not even present. He's not experiencing things fully. He's just collecting check marks, collecting partners, experiences, stamps in his passport, businesses, but he's never fully satisfied.
This is the kind of person that falls in love with every girlfriend and has his heart broken every time he gets dumped. Like you said, the passports fill up, but he's not really ever feeling fulfilled by any place he visits. Collects objects and never uses them, collects electronics or, you know, any number of things and doesn't end up doing anything with them. The house might look pretty unorganized and chaotic.
Or it might not look chaotic, but it might be full of, say, musical instruments, fancy guitars that he doesn't even know how to play very well or doesn't enjoy playing very much.
what are you saying here?
Oh, you enjoy playing the guitar. I see your face light up.
So the other version is the impotent lover. Are we finished with the addicted one?
Let's stay on that one for a bit longer, because I think it's really relevant to modern people, because consumerism really encourages this. It creates this unattainable ideal of an experience or of a person or of a feeling, and then it sells you a thing to fill the hole that desire creates. But then the thing never fills the hole, because it's not enough to just have the thing. You also have to be completely present in it. You have to savor it. You have to be mindful in it. You have to really connect with all of your senses, and not just be on to the next and on to the next and on to the next thing. You have to appreciate the thing that you currently have, instead of dreaming of, like, what's the ultimate thing that I could do or experience.
The story I could tell that most relates to experiencing the lover archetype in its fullness, if I'm not going to go into like just sex conversation, it would be the time you and I went to Dining in the Dark in, where was that, Malaysia?
Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, that's right. And so if you've never done Dining in the Dark, it's quite a cool experience. You are led into a restaurant that's pitch black. You cannot see your hands in front of your face. In that particular restaurant, all of the servers were blind. And they took us in through this like windy corridor. Our hands were on his shoulders because we couldn't see anything. He was leading us in. And then they gave us a 4-course meal. And everything was designed for sensory experience based on texture, smell, and touch, and obviously taste. And it was like a 45-minute to an hour experience. And I came away from that just feeling like I had a completely new understanding about food. Like I without the ability to see, you have to judge. And you don't even know what you're eating either. They don't tell you. So you have to be able to judge what you're eating. And because they've put so much focus on the texture, you're just having a completely different experience than normal eating. You take things so much slower. You taste everything. You feel that texture. It's just such a new, novel experience that I'd highly recommend. And I think that relates a lot to the lover archetype.
Mm-hmm. And the server actually suggested that we do that, that we eat very slowly and mindfully and kind of try to savor each bite and focus on the texture.
Yeah.
And he suggested the order in which the dishes should be taken. And there were many small dishes. And there were also wine pairings. So it was a very kind of full-bodied sensory experience.
Yeah. So the last one is the impotent lover, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this one is someone who, you know, if the lover in his fullness sees everything in vivid color, the impotent lover sees everything as shades of gray. They've lost their zest for life. They're very bored,
depressed,
and unhappy.
Dull.
Yeah.
And I think that this can happen in a couple different situations. It can happen when people are purposely repressing themselves, purposely denying themselves sensory pleasure, either because of, you know, maybe very hardcore religious beliefs, or maybe they're just not exercising, they're depressed, their testosterone is low, they're not going outside very much, and just maybe spending time working or, you know, doing something that doesn't involve sensory experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so life becomes dull.
Yeah. I think it's important to reiterate the fact that in Western society, this type of sort of sensitivity is really discouraged in men. And this particular archetype is really one of the most repressed types of archetypes in men today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough one to kind of embody and live fully. So maybe we can come up with some ideas and suggestions on how people can actually embody this one a little better.
Yeah. it's funny, actually. It reminds me, our friend Jordan Bates, I would say, is currently a very good embodiment of the lover archetype. And he's been posting some stuff that's very life-affirming, life-giving, and it's just so full of joy and, you know, appreciation for life. So
that's on High Existence.
High Existence, yeah. I'll link to some of his stuff from this post.
Cool.
Yeah, but otherwise, I would say when you eat food, eat it slowly and mindfully and savor each bite. Take time. Don't rush. And don't watch TV while you're doing it. Really look at the food. I would also suggest to eat food with other people because we evolved to share food with people in tribal societies. So when people eat alone, they tend to scarf and eat very fast and not taste the food properly and often overeat. But when we eat with others, we tend to eat more slowly and enjoy it more. And it's more of a kind of full-bodied experience.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, I mean, with sexuality as well, you know, really savor it, do it slowly, touch the skin of your partner, feel what their breath feels like.
Instead of just getting right down to business.
Yeah, really, really take the time. Not wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
So
I also find that nature is a really good way to experience this kind of connection, because the lover archetype is not just about sensory experience. It's not about hedonism. It's about living the sensory experience as a spiritual experience. That's what that really is. And so there are some elements of that that are embodied really well in the tantric tradition, although that's gotten quite bastardized in the West and has just become another hedonistic thing. But kind of the original tantra was more about fully embodying your experience so that it's not just a sensory experience, it's a spiritual experience. So when you're eating, it's a transcendent spiritual experience. When you're making love, it's a transcendent spiritual experience. When you're going and swimming in the water and the nature, and it's just the, you know, this grandiose, beautiful mother nature that you're having a connection with, that's also a spiritual experience.
I think it's easy to say that, maybe slightly easier to say that as a female. I know as a man, it's something I struggle with quite a lot, because I'm always in my head. So, you know, I think, like, deep down, I recognize that there is an important element to this. There's something that my mind or body is screaming out for, like, to just slow down, be in the moment, and kind of be in the senses. And I would say some of the best progress I've made in meditation is related directly to this. I mean, there's quite often where you and I will want to go to a coffee shop and just sit outside, you know, be in the sunlight, maybe chat about something, have a coffee. But way too often we get into that environment and I'm immediately in, like, brainstorming mode or, like, thinking about the list of to-do items I have for the day and that sort of thing. So I don't actually end up enjoying the moment quite as much because my head gets in the way. So from maybe that perspective, we can think of how to occupy this archetype for the kind of heady thinking male.
I would say take it as a practice. Mm-hmm. This is a mode that you're not used to operating in. So you're going to train yourself to operate in this mode. And the more you train yourself, the more competent you will become at it and the more you will enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it might not come intuitively, but you can get better at it by consciously practicing it and telling yourself, okay, I have these ideas. I'm going to write a quick list, dump it out of my head, put it out of my face. And now I'm just going to sit here and enjoy this coffee with my friend, this beautiful sunny day, you know, listen to the birds. Basically, you can do open awareness meditation, but you don't just kind of immerse yourself in the sensory field. You also try to experience it fully. You're not just noting things. Oh, I see a tree. I hear this, you know, I hear an aircon. I see a child running down the street. You actually feel it fully. Feel it so that it's electrifying.
Mm-hmm. Or in other words, just be in the senses and get out of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel your body.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we want to say?
I think that's probably it.
Cool. All right. The next one we're going to cover, I think, is the warrior.
Warrior.
Right? All right. Cool. See you in the next episode.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Qualia, a nootropic supplement that helps support mental performance and mood. To get 10% off, use the code FUTURE at checkout. And to learn more about neurohacking, visit futurethinkers.org/neuro.
Thanks for tuning in to Future Thinkers. For all the books, resources, and mentions from this episode, go to futurethinkers.org/73. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell icon to get notified of new videos. You can also follow us on social media to stay connected. If you'd like to get a t-shirt like the new Make America Think Again, go to futurethinkers.org/store. If you like what we do and you want to help us make more podcasts and videos, consider donating or becoming a patron at futurethinkers.org/support. Also visit our sponsor Qualia and use the coupon code FUTURE to get 10% off your purchase.